The prayer that destroyed an enemy. Wouldn't that be something if we could just pray and destroy the communist enemy of America? Well, there's an incident in the Bible that tells us how the prayer of two men destroyed an enemy nation or an enemy army of the house of Israel. We'll read the actual destruction first. 2 Kings 19, verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 2 Chronicles 32 also tells the story. This is also told in one of the prophets, which is a little unusual for most of the incidences in the Bible. In other words, it's told in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and also in Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah 37, in verse 36, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Now, this is something with God coming or sending an angel to destroy men. You know in the story of Joshua and Judges and Kings and Chronicles, in many cases, Israel fought with an enemy army, and God destroyed or put the army to rout in front of them, but Israel actually fought the army. Now, in this case, we have God's angel slaying these men. And if you'll turn with me to Matthew 13, there is a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ in which he prophesied that prior to the kingdom, an angel of the Lord will destroy the enemies of the house of Israel. Matthew 13, you know the parable quite well, the parable of the tares and the wheat. We'll just read verse 40 through 43. And Christ is explaining here the parable. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Or who hath ears to understand, let him understand. So Jesus gave a parable prophesying in the end of the age that the enemies of the house of Israel would be destroyed by an angel. And here back in the Old Testament we have a story of the king of Assyria and his armies being destroyed by an angel when King Hezekiah was king over Judah. The same quick destruction. One night, the Assyrian army was gone. Now, we can't read all of the three stories in the Old Testament, so we're going to start with the briefest account in 2 Kings 18 and see if we can find what these men, whose prayer we're going to read about later, what it was they prayed and the situation they found themselves in, that God sent an angel and destroyed 185,000 soldiers encamped around Judah. 2 Kings 18, we'll start with King Hezekiah's reign. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. And I should explain this so those who do not know the history of the Old Testament or Old Israel, this was after the division of the kingdom. The kingdom of Israel, or the 10 tribes, was in the northern part of the Old Land. The kingdom of Judah under Hezekiah was in the southern part. And these were the years in which the Assyrian took the northern kingdom into captivity. Hezekiah came to the throne of Judah just before the northern house of Israel went into captivity under the king of Assyria, whose armies we see here are destroyed. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and of course he reigned in Judah, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Verse 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. So first of all, we see that Hezekiah apparently was one of the most godly, righteous kings in all of either Judah or Israel. Now, we've studied Hezekiah to a great extent before, and I won't go into the details which are told in 2 Chronicles about how he destroyed all of the Baal worship in the land, and he appointed priests to teach the law of Moses to the people, and he commanded the people to give their tithes to the priests, and he actually then went through and had the Passover sacrifice, and gave the sacrifice for the nation, shed the blood for the nation as was commanded in the law of Moses. Most of you know that. So he was a very righteous king in the southern kingdom. Verse 9, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea. Now remember, Hoshea was king of the northern kingdom. That Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken, and the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Hela and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. And you know the story of 10 tribes of Israel going into captivity, actually taken out of their land. Verse 12 gives the reason for that. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. And then, of course, there are about a score of more verses in this chapter which tell about all the sin of the northern house of Israel and why they went into captivity. And this was because of their disobedience. So, of course, we would assume that Hezekiah, being so obedient, would not have any trouble, right? Well, wrong, because the next verse, 13, reads, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. So here is this same Assyrian king and his armies, has carried away the vast bulk of the northern kingdom. Now he comes against good godly Hezekiah and takes most of the other cities of Judah. And from the other story in Chronicles, we realize that only the city of Jerusalem and the very immediate area around it was left. Verse 14, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me, that which you putteth on me will I bear. Just think. Hezekiah went to the king of Assyria and said, okay, I realize I'm beaten. Now I'll be tributary. I'll pay you ransom if you won't come against me. This is this good, godly King Hezekiah. Now he's what? He's making a mistake. He made an error. He went to the king and said, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. King of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now, I'm not making a direct comparison to the United States of America, but some of you have found out in recent months that we are actually paying ransom to Russia and China. How many of you know that? We are actually paying ransom to Russia and China. In fact, the arrangement to get Nixon into China was made by Kissinger, and it was done in exchange for $10 million in gold, which was delivered, and also in exchange for the sale of 600 million pounds of cotton at below the world price. That is now being delivered to China. This is ransom being paid, and the so-called détente, if you might want to call it, with Russia is being done with our giving to them our wheat. Now, they keep talking about us selling it. That's not true. It's actually ransom being paid to these nations. And this is what Hezekiah did. He lost a few of his cities, were taken by the king of Assyria, and he agreed to ransom. Verse 15, and Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. Hezekiah actually took gold and silver out of the temple of God and paid it as ransom to the Assyrian king who had just taken most of the house of Israel into captivity. Now, this in itself you think is bad enough so the nation would be destroyed. We realize this is an error, even though Hezekiah generally was a godly king. Now, the king of Assyria wasn't satisfied with this, and he sent emissaries later in verse 19, which said, the man's emissary was named Rabshakeh, and he said unto them, or unto Hezekiah and the Judah kingdom, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? In the book of Chronicles, this is explained of ransom and decided not to pay it. But anyway, here the Assyrian king sends this word. Now behold, thou trustedest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? In other words, the Assyrian king said, do you mean to tell me you trust in the God of Israel? Well, you've already torn down part of his temple and given it to me for ransom. And just think, in America today, many of us say, oh, we trust in God. And what had our nation done? At the instance of the atheists, we've removed the Bible from our schools so we don't offend them, right? We have quit preaching to the Jews now because Billy Graham says the Jews are saved without Christ. And the so-called Expo 73 has agreed they won't try to proselyte Jews anymore because the Jewish rabbis oppose that. In other words, we have downgraded our Christianity in the sight of the enemy as they did, and the enemy came and said, you mean to tell me you trust in that God? Well, you've already given me the gold and silver of that temple. Now, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 32. Now, because this part of the story is told in more detail in the book of Chronicles. Hezekiah had rebelled at paying the tribute, and then in verse 2, 2 Chronicles 32, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there were gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? In other words, they now have begun to prepare to fight the Assyrian when he comes. Now, America's not done that yet. We're still paying tribute, so we're not in this case yet, but let's read on. Also, he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and steels in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably under them, saying, now here's finally what he said to the people. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Now just think for a moment. This is the same king who has already taken all of the 10 tribes in the captivity and a good share of Hezekiah's kingdom. Now he's come back and Hezekiah says there's more with us than with him. Here's the reason. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. So finally, Hezekiah said, we won't pay tribute anymore to this Assyrian. We are going to trust on God, and he told the people, and they rested on the Lord. Then as we go on here, after this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. In other words, he sends these ambassadors and these men to came ahead of the army to do what? Well, to do the same thing he did before. Verse 10 here. Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, wherein do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? You know, in Christendom today, if a ruler were to speak up and say, we are going to oppose world communism, we are going to trust in God Almighty, most of the people would agree with this propaganda. And that's what this is. This is enemy propaganda coming from Assyria saying, well, if you try to fight us, you're going to die with famine and sword. Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? Again, the same propaganda. You have already destroyed your Christian faith. Now do you mean to tell me you're going to depend on that same Jesus Christ to help you? And this can be said of us, brother, sister. We have downgraded our faith and our Christian teaching to the extent that it seems a little silly, doesn't it, to turn around and depend upon it to save us from the enemy. And then he reminds Hezekiah, know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? We hear this in a thousand different ways in America today. Oh, we can't fight against the Russians because we'll have nuclear war. We can't fight against the communists because look what they did. They've already taken China. And they've already taken Eastern Europe. They're in control of Africa. They've taken all these nations. How in the world can we stand against them? We must appease, and pay ransom. Now here in this biblical account, the emissaries who come to Israel to give them this propaganda are identified as coming from Assyria. Now, in America today, most of those people who give us this propaganda, we think of them as Americans. No, brother, sister, they're not. They're the enemies of America. They may have American citizenship. They may even be Secretary of State, if you please, as Kissinger is. But they are the enemies of America. You folks who have Saturday evening paper, by the way, don't throw it away. The editorial page is the article by Paul Scott in which he gives the information that the Russian ambassador Drobinin, whatever his name is, actually told other communists that Kissinger was acting for the Soviet Union in the talks between the Jews and the Arabs. In this case, God has identified these people as enemies. We'll have to recognize them by what they say. But he went on and reminded them of all the great things that these Assyrian communists had done. Verse 16, and his servant spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. You know, we have an organization in America called the John Birch Society. And I've talked to a number of their people. And one of the themes of Robert Welch, the leader of the John Birch Society, is it is no good to pray. You have to work to fight the enemy of America. And they say, well, you've got to raise up people. We've got to become strong to fight the communists. And here Hezekiah and the Judah kingdom were not depending upon strength. They were going to depend on the God of Israel. And the enemy says, oh, no, you can't depend on the God of Israel. Save you. That's what Robert Welch says. In verse 19, and they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the works of the hands of man. In other words, the enemy spoke as if God of Israel was the same as the other gods. See what the enemy is doing? We have an alliance here in America of the great religions trying to teach it in our schools, that all other religions are alike. Well, what about that? That was the propaganda from the Assyrians against the children of Israel. In verse 20, "And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven." What did they pray? Did they pray that God would save Judah from the Assyrians? Should we pray that God save America from communism? You know, a lot of people are praying that. These great anti-communists, I hear them on the radio, and oftentimes their words are couched in prayers that God will save America from communism. Now this says, "For this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven." What was the cause? Well, the cause we just read in verse 16. "And his servants," in other words, these Assyrian communists, "spake yet against the Lord God." In verse 17, "He wrote letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him." In verse 19, "And they spake against the God of Jerusalem." In other words, Isaiah the son of Amos and Hezekiah apparently prayed to God about the blasphemy of the enemy. How many of you hear prayers? "God, stop the blasphemous mouths of our enemies." Do we pray that? You hardly ever hear anyone praying about the enemy's blasphemy and condemnation against our God. Let's turn over to Isaiah 36, because this is told here also, and it's a little more clear as to just what the prayer was that Isaiah and Hezekiah prayed that ended up in the destruction of the armies of Assyria. This is told in Isaiah 36 and 37, and again, I won't have time to read all of this, but when you do, and I think you should, you will see that in Isaiah's account, in the answer to the prayer, there are many phrases that make it plain that this is a prophecy. Also, remember, Isaiah was there. This is the same prophet that Hezekiah went to. And here, in this account, Isaiah will find, and we won't go into that in detail, we'll find that Isaiah's answer to Hezekiah is prophetic into the future, which we can grasp in some time when this comes to pass later. But anyway, in Isaiah 36 and verse 1, it starts the same way. "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them." Verse 18, he sends his emissaries, his propagandists, against the Judah kingdom. "Where lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered this land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand?" I remember when the Chinese communists took over Tibet. 1951. Perhaps many of you remember that. And one of the things they did was to burn and destroy all of the altars of the heathen gods in Tibet. And some of these foolish anti-communists in America at that time, this was 20 years ago, spoke up and said, "Oh, wasn't that terrible? They've come in there and they've destroyed all of the worship of the gods of Tibet, and they've destroyed their religion." Well, brother, sister, all in the world they did that for was God allowed the Chinese communists, as he has allowed the communists all over the world, to destroy heathen religion. And then they've done that, and then they're coming to us and they say, "How will your God deliver you out of our hands? Why, China and Tibet fell to us, and we destroyed their God." Same thing happened here. "Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not." Don't argue with them. Don't condemn them for destroying heathen gods. If the communists ever move in and complete and total force in India, brother, sister, they're going to have a field day destroying the heathen gods of India. And I believe they may be the rod in God's hand to be the destroyer in many cases. So let's don't worry about that. But they were trying to make the Judah kingdom concerned and fearful over the fact that other nations had fallen before the Assyrian, just as we saw in Kings and Chronicles. Chapter 37, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Well, the Judah kingdom had a ruler or a leader who at least knew where to go when they came against him. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, and covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. The king knew that this was beyond him personally. So now he sends for the other part of the people who must come before God, the king and the prophet. The king and the prophet are now present together. Then we read on in verse 3, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. King Hezekiah recognized here that this was not just an enemy coming against Judah, as we should recognize today. This is a day of blasphemy against the God of Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, sister, we better get a little more concerned about the blasphemy of Jesus and about what might happen to us if the communists take over. Notice, the king didn't say, I'm concerned that they're going to take us captive and they're going to treat us badly. Says, this is a day of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring them forth. It may be the Lord thy God shall hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Hezekiah, in effect, recognize that we may be saved because God has heard their blasphemy. How about that? Hezekiah knew that as a kingdom they had no righteousness in themselves. He was a very good, godly king. We read in 2 Kings that there was none like him before or after him who followed the Lord. And what did he see in this enemy attack? A threat to his life? A threat to his children? No, he saw blasphemy of the God of Israel. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have threatened you. Didn't say that. God didn't answer it that way, did he? No, he says, you don't be afraid of these people who have blasphemed me. Now, would to God we could see the hope in this for ourselves and our nation, for Christendom, if you please, that the enemies of Christendom are the enemies of God. That's why Hezekiah realized God wasn't on their side just because they had prayed to him. God was on their side because the enemy had blasphemed God Almighty. Isaiah answers him that way, or at least the word of the Lord comes that way. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So here is the prophecy now from Isaiah that the Assyrian will be destroyed. But in Isaiah's story, we see a slightly different thing happening. Before this happens, the Assyrian sends emissaries again. In other words, the propaganda continues. And he says, these emissaries, these propagandists, these communist spies, as it were, behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the children of Eden, which were in Telazar. Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arphad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord, and spread it before the Lord. I would believe from this that as our situation becomes worse, and as the enemy comes closer to an actual physical military onslaught against us, the propaganda will be increased that it's useless for us to fight them. In fact, you see this to a great extent today. I think it was as long ago as 1958, I believe. I'm not sure on the date, but it was during the Eisenhower administration that President Eisenhower gave the order for the printing of the book titled Strategic Surrender. How many of you have ever heard that? Just raise your hands. I'm curious. Strategic Surrender. Way 15 years ago, President Eisenhower distributed this to all of the top officers from field grade on up in the U.S. military establishment. And it is a plan for the surrender of the American military forces to the communists when they threaten to attack them. Over 15 years ago, our military received the plan for surrender. And over, our military is being brainwashed into this one theme, as our young people are in our colleges and schools. It's useless to fight. All we'll do is kill millions of people, we'll cause an atomic war, it may be the end of mankind, and so on. Well, this is the same propaganda that came to the children of Israel here in the Judah kingdom. But Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, that art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. And notice, in his prayer, he did in effect what we do in the Lord's Prayer. We recognize him as the God of the heavens and the earth, and the Creator, and the King of all the kingdoms of the earth. We have to recognize this in our prayer. And then he went on, Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Hezekiah didn't even say, God, hear my words. He said, God, hear the words of the blasphemers, who have come and sent their words to reproach thee. I wonder if we hadn't better begin praying that the God of Israel hears the words of blasphemy that are coming into our land from the Antichrist and from the enemy. He goes on. Hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Hezekiah said, I understand why the other nations have fallen before the Assyrians. Now remember, part of Israel had already fallen before the Assyrian too, right? The northern 10 tribes because of disobedience. But Hezekiah said, the heathen have fallen because they are no God. And then listen to this. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. That's a different way to pray, isn't it, than we hear so often. We hear so often the prayer, and I hear this on radio when men broadcast. I will admit that most of the preaching I hear from other preachers is parts of broadcasts I hear in my car when I'm on errands. And so often if they do talk or pray about the United States of America and the danger of communism, the prayer is to save us from having to suffer under communist rule. Hezekiah didn't say, God, save us from suffering under the Assyrians' rule. He said, no, save us that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. That's a different reason for the saving. Let's go to 2 Kings 19 before I read on in Isaiah, 2 Kings 19, which was in effect the same in verse 16 and 19. So you'll see the same story is told here. This is part of the prayer. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Verse 19, Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Turn back to Isaiah 37, and we'll read on. Verse 21, Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah. Now remember, we've read Hezekiah's prayer. This is the message from Isaiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and then he gives the answer. In other words, this answer is coming to Hezekiah because he prayed against the blasphemers of the God of Israel. This is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. In other words, Israel is laughing at the communists. That's what Isaiah says. Israel is laughing at the Assyrians. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? Against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. This is what the world communists are doing. We think they're against us and our children. No, in God's eyes, they're blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitudes of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains. And then, of course, he goes on and implies that it is his strength. The Assyrians' propaganda is that it is his strength and cunning that has been able to do all these things. But God says, again speaking to the Assyrian in verse 26, Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. Remember what we read in the prophecies of Isaiah 10? It says, O Assyrian, the rod in mine anger. In other words, God is reminding here the Assyrian that God has raised up that Assyrian to lay waste the defense cities in heaps. I know people don't believe Pastor Emery many times when he says, Communism is the rod in God's hand to punish us until we do one thing, turn to the Lord God Almighty. And here before God destroyed the Assyrian, he reminded him, You didn't do this in your power and your strength. I prophesied this. I raised you up to do this. I believe that we'll find, as we go on to the kingdom, we'll come to an understanding that God raised up world communism to destroy many of the heathen idols across this world. Let's be careful. We look on the works of God in truth as they're given in the Scripture. All right, most of the verses here, there are about 10 of them, which if you will read later, you will find they're very prophetic, verses 22 through 32, because there's more there than actually happened in the Old Kingdom. But anyway, and he gives a conclusion here in verse 35, as he goes on, God's still speaking, For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Why did God strike dead 185,000 Assyrian soldiers? For his own sake. Because he had been blasphemed. What a hope for us that God will save us not because of what we are, not even because we pray and say, well, God, save us from the chains and slavery of communism. No, when we pray, as Hezekiah did, that God hear the words of the blasphemers, hear the words of the enemies of Jesus Christ, then God will say, I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake. Can you realize how powerful that kind of praying will be in America sometime in the future? And let me remind you again to read this in conjunction with Matthew 13, because the prophecy in that parable is that he will send forth his angels to remove the tares from the wheat and cast them into a furnace of fire. Now, there are two things that America, Christendom, actually must learn from what happened here when God smote and destroyed the armies of Assyria. Number one, the enemy of ours who ridicules and blasphemes God may not know it, but he has already sealed his own doom. He has already sealed his own doom. There's nothing we are going to do in opposition to communism that is going to destroy world communism and the Antichrist. They have already sealed their own doom by blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, we, as the Judah kingdom here of old, must pray for God's glory to be revealed and his rulership over the kings of the earth, rather than praying for the salvation of our own physical bodies, or praying for the salvation that we may not have to spend time under world communism. In all of this account, in Kings and Chronicles and Isaiah, it appears that neither Hezekiah nor Isaiah prayed the God of Israel to save them from the troubles and tribulation of an Assyrian conquest. No, they prayed that God would hear the blasphemy of the Antichrist, and they prayed that God's glory and God's rule would be shown. You know, a very simple prayer for God's kingdom is more powerful in destroying world communism than all of the so-called communist organizations in the country. When we learn this Bible and learn how to pray as Hezekiah and Isaiah did, brother, sister, it almost makes me feel sorry for the communists, the enemies of Christians. God will send an angel and gather out of his kingdom all that offend him. Praise you. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these words of hope and comfort, for these promises that, according to Paul, you sealed with your own blood to the children of Israel. We ask that you forgive us. Show us of your mercy as we stumble along in darkness. Send us thy light, send us thy word and thy spirit, that we may look for that great day when you shall be king. All